If righteousness could come by perfectly keeping God's law, every one of us would be already disqualified. But that's exactly why the gospel is such good news. What came first, faith or law? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you're enjoying this series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, or comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It is a Monday morning, and a lot of things are happening across our nation, around the world, in Mexico, everywhere. We're seeing that we are living in those days where lawlessness is increasing, wars and rumors of war, and that is why it's so good that we come back to God's Word each and every day and allow it to guide our path. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generous support. It really does help us keep producing resources that will help equip you each and every day for the public square, because we're changing hearts so that we change the public square. Today's scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 5. It says this, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness." So we need to understand that Paul is writing here, making the claim that if you're a Jew and you are claiming righteousness based on the law, then you have to live on that or by that righteousness. And that is a big claim. So let's go back to Leviticus and see where he said this, where Moses said this. And let's look at what the scripture says. "Now, the Lord God spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Now, that is very important. We see that Israel is spoken to by God, and God says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt." And this is important because we aren't to do the stuff that's of the world where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where you're headed, where I'm bringing you. "You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accordance with them. I am the Lord your God." So second, "I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live. If he does them, I am the Lord your God." So there is where he said it. "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live. If he does them, I am the Lord your God." So there is a blessing that comes from walking out the commandments of God Almighty. But we need to get the right order of where that blessing is and how that blessing takes place in our life. So this is what Moses wrote, and it's in these first verses, "None of you should approach any blood relative of his uncover nakedness. I am the Lord." So he's going through this and saying, don't uncover other people's nakedness. And he'll say that a number of times as you go through the chapter. I'd encourage you to read it. So what's our application? Don't do what is done in the world. If we want to walk rightly before God, we need to be a set apart people for the presence of God, and to live differently and to live different than the world, not the exact same as the world. So let's look at this. A man who practices righteousness. That was the next part. So Moses writes that a man who practices righteousness. And let's go to Romans, back to Romans, and let's go to chapter 2. And we are going to look at verse 12. "For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearer of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On that day when, according to my gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So what does Paul say? There's a righteousness that comes from the law, but it's not those who just know about it, but it's those who actually do that law. But we got to be careful with this a little bit, because we can end up at the wrong spot if we're not careful. We can end up to by salvation by works. So it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, It says, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. There's that Leviticus again quoted. If you practice them, you got to live by them. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now, the promises were spoken of to Abraham and his seed, and he does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So, what he's saying here is this: we are not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And that in turn produces a life that runs after doing the right things that please and honor God. Let me read verse 17. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. That is such an important verse. Abraham was first, and then 430 years later, Moses shows up with the law. It doesn't nullify what happened back here by faith. It's by faith, and then out of faith, we begin to fulfill and live out the things that please and honor God. It's ratified. So one last verse for us I want us to think about in this application for Public Square. First, practice faith, and then you will be able to practice righteousness. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. Let's go back a chapter here and look at verse 15. And this idea is that we got to live by it. It's possible to achieve life by keeping the law. So 2, verse 15 through 16, he says this: we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So he lays it out very clearly in Galatians 2, 15 through 16. And here's our application for today. Receive life through Jesus Christ by trusting in God's grace, not through your own abilities or your own working of the law. Walk into that workplace with your head held high, knowing that you have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that in turn will produce inside of you works that honor and glorify God. They'll see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you that we are not justified by works of the law, but we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Help our Jewish brothers to know this with an absolute certainty that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. We pray that salvation will begin to flow across that nation, across those people. God, we pray for every Gentile around the world, God, that you would begin to show Jesus to them and that they would know that it's by faith through grace that one is saved. And that in turn produces something in us, that we don't live like we're living in Egypt or in the land of Canaan, but we live as those who have been bought with a price, and we glorify God in these bodies and in our minds and our hearts and our actions, and we bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.